Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28, right after the book of Psalms in your Bible. Psalms, Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 28, we're going to read verses 19 to 23. 19 to 23, Proverbs 28 and verse 19 to 23. Verse 19, he that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. To have respect of persons is not good, for a piece of bread that man will transgress. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. And let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that please you'd help us tonight as we come once again. Please open our hearts. Lord, give us understanding. And Lord, please bless your word to our hearts so we can live it and love it. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Our county, I knew being here for 4.5 years, there's things you notice about states with bigger government. In a liberal state, what we would call a liberal state that is for big government and for control, you will notice the more control a state has, or the more democratic state is, the more corrupt it is. It's just the way it goes. I could tell when I got here, this is a Catholic county. You say, what's that mean? This is a Catholic state. What's that mean? Everybody knows with Catholicism, if it gets too strong, which it is, that's fine, there's going to be one thing that enters, the mafia, the underworld. There's a lot of greased palms in St. Mary's County. You can tell that when you go down to the county seat, Leonardtown. You can tell by the regulations. It's all about money. It's not about control. It's about control. It's not about safety. You say, why would you say that? I have never been in a place, although I think there are other places, but there's several bingo places where gambling is legalized. See, right down here by Foxy Fish, you know, you got the gambling spot, and there's another one. And you see where people can, that's normally prevalent in a Catholic community. That does not mean every place that has legalized gambling is Catholic. It just means here, guess what? With the mafia comes the casinos, comes the gambling, comes the different philosophy. As you look at this text here, it says verse 20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, that he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. God gives us an order in the Bible about making money. God's order goes like this. You work, you earn, you save, and you spend. If you get things, let me say it again. You work, you earn, you save, and you spend. That's God's plan all through the Bible. I don't think anybody would argue with that. There's verses behind that, but I'm trying to get you to understand something tonight. If you reverse, do anything out of that order with money, you introduce problems in your life. That's what's wrong with a credit card. A credit card reverses it. You spend, then you work, and you try to pay off, and you then find in your Bible verses on usury, interest. Unjust interest, God's against. Amen? That's why a person can get in a financial mess so fast with a credit card. I think you can use a credit card to build your credit, but you should not be using your credit card to live off of. The millionaires will tell you, Dr. Russell Anderson will say, yeah, they got in trouble, and here's the statement, living off that plastic. There's something about when you pull cash out of your wallet that's actual ink cash. You pull a card, there's no emotion attached to a card. You just smack it down. Yeah, put it on the card. You pull cash out of your wallet. I'm not telling you to pay for everything with cash. I'm just saying there's no thought going into, I got room on the card. Put it on the card. If you don't have the cash, you can't spend it. So God's order for money in the Bible is, once again, work, earn, save, spend. If you do it out of that order, you will get into trouble. He that hasteth to be rich or looks to get rich quick, God says, shall not be innocent. Two verses down, look at verse 20, 22. He that hasteth to be rich, they're in a hurry to make money. They're in a hurry to be rich. God says they have a problem. They have an evil eye. God curses it. It starts with an evil eye. It goes from there. Now, that's Proverbs chapter 28, verse 22. That's Proverbs 28, verse 22. God has three plans for the use of our money. Are you ready? I'm going to hit this, and then I'll give you the definition here tonight, and I'll tell you what I'm preaching on. God has three plans. First of all, we receive money through hard work, and then you can also receive money through prayer. God touches people's hearts to give. That's the only way you're supposed to be getting money, is hard work and prayer. Then God's plan is also for giving money. We give in tithes and offerings, and then we give to others. What's that called when you give to somebody secretly? It's called an alms, right? If you find out somebody has a need and you give it secretly, that's an alms. That's not tithes or offerings. Finally, God has a plan for money, and it's managing. That means we're supposed to live on the rest that God gives us after we tithe and give our offerings. We pay bills promptly. To pay a bill late is to steal. That's why it's not wrong to have a house mortgage. You agreed at the first of the month or whenever your bill comes due, I will pay you. I'm agreeing to pay you on this debt, this amount of money, at this time. But if it's late, then you stole from someone. We pay our bills on time. That's character says, I don't pay things late because if I'm not a thief. I don't pay things late. Amen? That should be every Christian's stance. We don't borrow. Borrowing is, once again, the borrower is servant to the lender. We realize that debt is bondage. We realize that. We work to get out of debt. We try to build sales resistance, and we try to stay out of debt. Now, our text warns us against instant prosperity and easy money with the verses making haste to be rich and hastening to be rich from verse 22. Gambling is risking money on an event. If you say, "What? How do you define gambling?" It's risking money on an event. Casinos, horse racing, bingo, betting, cards, raffles, lotto, chances, pitching pennies, carnival booths. They're all forms of gambling. Spend a little, get a lot. It's risking money on an event. I was asked a question 4 months after I got here. Somebody in our church, no, they're not here tonight, so don't figure out who it is. But they came to me and they said, "Pastor, what's wrong with gambling?" And they said, I don't hear a lot of preaching on it, but we used to. A long time ago, it was a common topic. You don't hear a lot of preaching on it. It's like the topic of music. You don't hear a lot of people preaching on gambling or teaching or what's a Christian supposed to do. I appreciated the question. That was 3 months after I got here. I really appreciated it. It's taken me this long, taken me a couple of years to do it, not because I fear doing it, but here we go. Gambling is not acting on faith. Take you're in Proverbs 28, go to Proverbs 13. Gambling is not acting on faith, nor is gambling simply taking a risk. Gambling, according to one definition, is taking an artificial risk for hope of excessive gain, far beyond what the investment of time, money, or skill would ever justify. A gamble is a transaction where your gain is someone else's loss, or your loss is someone else's gain. It's never what we would call equal. In gambling, the willingness to take a risk is twisted by the desire to get something for nothing. Gambling is parasitic. Now listen closely to this. Gambling produces no personal growth, and no achieving of any social good. Do you realize the only way gambling can exist, a casino can exist, it produces nothing for the society that it's in. It only takes, but it does not produce a product. You understand? Nothing tangible. It can only pull from society. And when you do the stats, look up gambling, you will find that 83% of the people that made less than $15,000 last year, a year, that's poverty wages, right? The majority of those that gamble are those who are in poverty wages. That means the mafia knows the casino appeals to those that are the poorest. That doesn't mean rich people don't gamble. It means it appeals to the poverty area of society. What? And what's every person? Look, watch them in Wawa. I do. I feel sorry for them, but they go through the line. Yeah, well, that ticket right there and that there. And then, of course, they get now you got a lotto machine, you know. So it's over there spitting out the different tickets. You know, it's worth this much in the state, this many million. What's their thinking? I'm poor right now, but if I could just make it, if I could just get my family could eat and they could, it feeds off of the poor. The statistics show that they know that. They know that. It doesn't bother them when they set up a casino for that, but they know it's going to feed and it's going to hurt society. The majority of the people that it appeals to is those in the poverty sector. It does not produce anything for a society. All it does is it takes. The gain of the winner is always at someone else's expense. It is selfish and it is non-productive. It's non-productive. So gambling, here we go, is the opposite of faith. Doesn't it say in Proverbs 13, whatsoever is not of faith is sin? Look at verse 10, ready? Only by pride cometh contention, but with a well-advised is wisdom. Wealth, watch verse 11, gotten by vanity shall be diminished. If you don't get money in the right way, God says it will, if people add it up, and I know I've told you the stats before, but I think it's like 87% of all those who've ever hit the lottery and won the millions, bankrupt within 1 year. They're bankrupt, they're divorced, they've lost their job. You say, well, what about the 13% that win the lottery? Because see, everybody's an exception to the rule, right? Well, if I won the lottery, I wouldn't get a divorce and I wouldn't go bankrupt. I know, everybody's an exception to the rule. The whole principle goes something like this. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation or your lifestyle be without covetousness, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. One of the principles behind money is this. If God felt you could handle that much money, then God would give you that much money. Amen. God would prosper you. You have as much money as God can trust you with. You say, well, how come I don't have 3 million? Because you can't be trusted with it yet. Amen? It's a wonderful way to think about money. I have what God wants me to have. Doesn't it say in Proverbs, give me neither riches nor poverty. Lord, don't let me be so rich I don't need you. And Lord, help me not to be so poor that I'd steal another man's bread. Lord, just what's it say? Give me food sufficient for me because I know what I am. That's Proverbs. That's Proverbs. With that in mind, the word content, well, here we go. You're in Proverbs 13. Go over three more chapters. Look at Proverbs 16. It says, look at verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Notice verse 8. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Bob Jones Sr. used to preach, do right. When you don't know what to do, do right. Just do right. Could you ask yourself the question, is gambling right? If you need more, here we go. Could you ever see Jesus standing in line at Wawa buying a lottery ticket? Okay, I can't. No, I don't see Jesus over on the side. Thank you. And, you know, three tickets. Let me ask you this. If you saw Jesus doing that, would it bother you? I hope it would. I hope it would. No, I'll do it with you. I hope not. Doesn't the Bible say, 1 Corinthians 10, 30, 31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God? I don't do everything to the glory of God, but I'm supposed to try. Amen. When my wife made my bacon sandwich the other day, did I eat to the glory of God? I was praising God, but I don't know that me eating that wonderful bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich brought total glory to God. Amen. But I'm supposed to look to bring glory to God. If you ask the question, Christian, can you gamble to God's glory? If the answer is no, then I'm not supposed to do it. I think I know the answer to the question. But if you saw me gambling, would that help you or hurt you? I don't think it would help you. Why is pastor gambling? You say, well, you're not supposed to do it because you're a pastor. That's not why I'm not supposed to do something. I'm not supposed to because I'm a Christian. That's not supposed to be a part of my life. It is a part. Let me show you how big gambling is in America. 60% will gamble this year, and by the time that's this year in America, over 60% will gamble. That's more than half, right? That's more than one out of every two. Gambling was first legalized in America in 1931, and guess what state? Nevada. Before 1931, it was illegal everywhere. Watch this. Everybody knew it was a moral issue. Had nothing to do with immorality. It had everything to do with right and wrong. So before 1931, it was illegal everywhere. You had to do it hidden, right? You had to sneak and all to go around to do it. It took from 1931 to 1977 for the second state in America to legalize gambling. It took over 40 years. Do you know why? Because the general consensus of America, well, the Bible was taught in school. You had principles taught. 1977, the second state in America legalized gambling. It started ramping up, and by the 1990s, that's when gambling started taking hold in every state. The 1990s is when the casinos started popping up everywhere. Now, we're about 20 years, 25 years past the casino boom, what people called the gambling boom in America. Now, 48 states have legalized gambling. There's only two that have not. I believe one is Utah, and one is, I can't remember what the other one is, but the Mormons won't let it happen in Utah. I don't respect them as a cult, but they do have a moral issue with that, and I'm glad they do. God says, better is little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Gambling changes the Bible work ethic. The government, through allowing the lottery, bingo, casino on our state, are saying don't prosper through hard work and responsibility. Look, everybody's longing for the lottery like they're longing for a superhero. There are no superheroes. You understand? My dad used to say all the time, son, there's no such thing as a free lunch. If you ever get something for free, somebody else paid for it, and don't you forget that. If you're enjoying something right now, it's because somebody else paid the cost. And you mature when you start paying the cost for somebody else. That's maturity. But when all you do is take, he was telling me this as a teenager because I needed to hear it. Real bad. Amen. There are no free lunches. Everybody's waiting. Well, maybe one day I'll get... Look, you're going to get out of debt when you pay yourself out of debt. Amen? You work your way out of debt. You dug the hole, now dig your way out of it. Amen? Well, maybe I'll find a satchel that was buried in my backyard 80 years ago filled with 5 cans of... It's not going to happen. That's not reality. Reality is you got into debt this way, and you will get out of debt that way. There are no free lunches. But gambling and that philosophy says you don't prosper through hard work, you prosper through luck. The all-American dream is that a person can put in a hard day's work, earn money, and eventually own a home and raise a family. Neither God nor our forefathers ever intended our country to function on any gaining at somebody else's loss or you gaining at my loss. That's called stealing. The biblical principle is the work ethic. Take your Bible and go to Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. Exodus, second book in your Bible. Look, I don't think a sermon like this is going to change St. Mary's County. But as a Christian, as a child of God, we should understand. Look, when you pass the bingo center, it should let you know our county's got issues. That's crime. God's not pleased with that. When you see the strip club, God's not pleased with that. When you see the liquor being sold in the store, God's not pleased with that. That brings a curse. Sin brings a curse. Sin should break a Christian's heart. We don't acclimate ourselves to it to where it doesn't bother us anymore. We know what, look, I'm not living for this world. I don't belong here. I see the sin that's happening, but I don't want to partake of it. You say, why? I'm different. Amen? I'm different. Here we go. Look at Exodus chapter 20 and verse 17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. You don't hear a lot of preaching on covetousness. It's the 10th commandment. It's one of God's standards for morals in a society. That's what the 10 commandments are. God says, if you want to run a society, don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't steal, and watch the covetousness. But you don't hear people mentioning that. How do you define covetous? The word covetous means this: to reach after that which is not yours. How about this for a definition of covetous? The wrong desire to possess that to which no one has a right. That's covetous. The word gambling is not found in the Bible, but its equivalent is covetousness. Yet a Christian is supposed to say, I need to watch my desires and what I allow myself to want. In other words, I'm not supposed to want, I'm supposed to control myself. Amen? Or I'm covetous. What's the opposite? Oh, here, let's look at it for a second. Look at Luke 12:15. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Covetousness is dangerous for a Christian. Jesus told us, you need to beware of this. Luke 12:15 is a very powerful verse, especially in our society. Luke 12:15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. Jesus said this, don't let yourself want something that doesn't belong to you. Don't let yourself want something you can't afford. That's why I got issues with shopping. If you can afford to shop, glory to God, shop. Shop till you drop. But you know how the store is set up, right? The center aisle that you walk down, that's called the eye aisle. That's the main sales aisle. In other words, those vendors that put their items in that middle aisle, they pay more for that than the other items. You know why? Because that's what you see first. They know what they're doing. Whatever my eye affecteth my heart, the Bible says. If you don't have money to go shopping and all you have is a plastic credit card, why are you shopping? All it's going to do is allow you to see what you don't have, and then you're going to want it and try to figure out a way to get it. Why are you shopping if you can't afford that? If you can't afford it, being the opposite of covetousness is contentment, being contained or self-contained or happy with what you have. I don't need anything else. I'm happy just with, look, I like my car, but your car has rust on it. I like its rust. It's rusted like no other car in St. Mary's County. Amen? Custom, I like my car. Look, I like my house. I like my, yeah, but you could wear nicer clothes. I like my clothes. They work. You say, what do they do? They cover me. That's what they're supposed to do. The day they split or something, we're getting some more clothes. All right? But I like what I have. I like what I have. The ability to be content is the opposite. Jesus said, beware of covetousness. Take your Bible, go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. No, the word gambling is not in your Bible, but covetousness is. Gambling is at such a state in America, pretty much, I've already told you, 60% this year will do it. They say by the time a person dies in a lifetime, the total number of people that gamble is 86%. That means only 14% of people in America by the time they die won't gamble. That's a small percentage, isn't it? That's less than a quarter. It's huge. It's been that way since the 90s. It's not always been that way, but it's huge now. It's just, you're not normal if you don't gamble. That's just society's acceptance of it. Do you know how much was spent last year on gambling? Yeah, not how much was made, all that. I'll show you that here in just a second. $500 billion was spent last year in America, more than $500 billion, on gambling by the American people. Just in America, not talking worldwide, just talking about America. That's the stats. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, ready? Verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, he knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth. Supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. You know what I'm supposed to work at as a Christian? Loving what God's giving me. Amen? Being content. And if God feels I could handle more, God would give me more. Look, all of us have to work at this. You say, well, don't you want the church to be... Sure, none of us turn people away. I know we got too many people this morning. We don't do that. Sure, we'll take all the people God gives us. But right now, guess what? No, I don't want something bigger. I want the people God gives us. Amen? I'm content with what God gives us. Christian, you should look at your house. Thank God for your house. Praise God for what God's given me. Maybe one day we could upscale and get a bigger house. Well, you get a bigger house, you got to clean a bigger house. Amen? We had a 2,800 square foot house in Texas. My wife was like, "Whoo!" she was up and everywhere. If you get a bigger house, you got to clean a bigger house. Nothing wrong with that. But bigger and better, God says godliness with contentment is great gain. If you can get a hold of your covetousness, look at the next verse, ready? For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. I love this statement. You know how much Rockefeller left behind? All of it. Didn't matter how much he made in his lifetime. He left it all. He took none of it with him. You came in this world with nothing, and you will leave with nothing. The only thing you leave this world with is the people you led to Christ and the things you did for God that you sent on ahead. Amen? That's it. Live for the eternal, not this world. Keep on going. Watch this. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. I wish you'd notice verse 9 and watch it very carefully. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. It doesn't say if you make a lot of money, you have fallen into a temptation and a snare. The key word there, if you underline it, is the word will. Those that will to be rich, those that will, I want it, I gotta have it, I'm gonna, those that are covetous, God says, you, okay, they fall into temptation and a snare. When you, okay, you've heard the statement, by the time I'm 30, I'm going to be a millionaire. Good. I've seen that. And then you lose your wife and your kids. You got your $1 million, though. But you lost everything else. Shame on you. But I was a millionaire by the time I'm 30. If you will to be rich, you fall into temptation and a snare. In other words, watch your covetousness. Don't want it. I don't want, it's not supposed to be one of the goals of my life. Watch this. And into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. And just in case you didn't get verse 9, verse 10 is very helpful. For the love of money is the root of all. God does not say money is the root of evil. You know, people try to quote this and they try to be spiritual. Well, money is the root. No, you're a ding-dong. The Bible says, Ecclesiastes, money answereth all things. In other words, hear the statement, money makes the world go round? No, money is not evil. When you love it, it's evil. You know how come they haven't fixed the drug problem in America? There's too much money involved. You know how come liquor is legal? Because there's so much money involved. They won't make it illegal. The love of money is the root of that sin. You want to know how come immigration hasn't been stopped yet? There's too much money involved. When you got satellites that take pictures of people's freckles on their noses, what do you mean you don't know? Well, you just don't know where it's happening. You're a liar. No, they know exactly what's happening. There's too much of this. The love of money is the root of all evil. All of it. You know how come gambling is not made illegal? Look, here's the stats on gambling. Ready? FBI said, for every dollar that is brought in for gambling taxes, 10 is spent fixing the problems that it brings to society. Listen to the stats. Out of every, because that's how gambling is sold. If we'll allow this casino to come in, it'll bring wealth into our day. That's how they sell it. It's a lie. Same thing with liquor. They sell liquor the same way. Oh, yeah, but the money that it brings in. Well, what about the drunkenness and the broken homes and the car wrecks and the hospital bills? It costs much more than it brings in. Same thing with casinos. Same thing with gambling. But it's sold on a false premise and a lie. It'll bring in taxes to our state. And that's how every state legalized it. FBI said, I'll say it again, for every dollar brought in from gambling tax, 10 is spent on fixing the problems. Because name a casino that is not owned by the mafia. And you can't. And you won't either. Try opening a casino. Don't. Okay, I'm just trying to illustrate for you, okay? Try opening a casino outside of the mafia ring, and they'll kill you. You don't cost them money. Well, I'm gonna open an honest casino. We're gonna pray before we gamble. Right. Okay. You hear all the justification, but listen to what I just said. There's no such thing as a casino that's not owned by the underworld. With the underworld, the moment the casino came, watch this. Every state in this town where they had the casino, crime rose minimum 5.6%. In most states, it rose over 8% the moment it got there. Because with the casino comes the next thing that follows. Always, what's the mafia bring in? Prostitution. What's the next thing that follows? Liquor. What's the last thing that follows? The drug trafficking. And the casino becomes the hub. FBI will tell you that. All the stats show that. There is no good that comes from them. It has hurt America. We are not better off with them than we were without them. The love of money, I wish every Christian knew that verse. The love of money is the root of all evil. Look at, go to Matthew 6:23. Let's just look at a few more verses here. Matthew chapter 6, verse 23. Do you know the homelessness? Everybody hear about the homelessness statistics? Did you know 18%, this was polled all across America, 18% of the homeless people in America said they're there because of gambling casinos. 18% of the homelessness. Remember I told you it feeds off the poverty sector of society and it makes the poverty worse? It multiplies it. It's evil. It's evil. Matthew chapter 6, notice verse 23. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Look, it'd be enough if it was in the Bible, but the fact that our Savior said it, he said, you can love God, and you can serve God, and you can serve money, but nobody serves both. It is one or the other. Either God has your heart, or money has your heart, period. That's a heavy-duty verse. Money's never supposed to make your decisions for you. As a Christian now, you can't serve both. Oh, I can balance. There is no balancing. No man can serve two masters. Be careful. Covetousness is idolatry. Take your Bible now and go to Colossians chapter 3. Because you can only serve God or mammon or money, this is why it's called idolatry. It's an idol. And people don't think of covetousness like this, but I'm supposed to watch it as a Christian. I love this statement. Somebody said, if you want to fix the covetousness in your life, make a list, take a piece of paper, go to God in prayer, and make a list of everything you want. God, I want this, I want this, I want this. Make a list. Ask God for it one time. Say, God, this is what I'd like. This is my wish list. I mean, put everything on there. Put it all. God, this is what I want. When you feel I'm ready and I can handle it, could you please give it to me? Once you've asked God for everything on the list, tear it up and enjoy what God's given you. And don't wish again. Amen? Give it to God. Say, God, this is what I want. When you feel I can handle it, Lord, I know you'll give it to me. And until then, let it go. Let it go. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Ready? Look at verse 1. If ye then, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ and seek those things which are above. If you're saved, right? That's what he's saying. If you're risen with Christ, seek the things that are in heaven or eternal where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Colossians 3, 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your desires on things above. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You're saved. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall he appear also with him in glory. And then look at verse 5. Mortify, or kill, therefore your members which are upon the earth. So what are we supposed to be fighting? In our own flesh, fornication, sex outside of marriage. Knock it off. Uncleanness. That's unclean sexual acts. Dealing with the disease and all uncleanness is always goes with immorality. Inordinate affection. Evil concupiscence. And then watch this. What else are you supposed to kill in your members? Covetousness, which is idolatry. I'm supposed to get a hold of my desires and what I want. And God says, kill it. Just like Jesus said, if you find your hands offending you, what are you supposed to do? Cut it off. He wasn't talking about self-mutilation. Your body's holy. You're not supposed to hurt your body. Amen. He was making an illustration. When you find something in your life, try to get rid of covetousness. It's the equivalent of the fortitude it takes to saw your hand off. You cut your own hand off? Man, you got... Sorry you did that, but that took a lot. You heard the people that get caught, get trapped, or heard one guy how he had to cut the tendons in his elbow, then separate it and cut his arm. Help us. Same fortitude it takes. When you find something's wrong in your life, it takes drive and desire to kill it. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fight these things. Fight them. Take your Bible and go to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. I don't know if I should tell you this. It is the truth though. I've never gambled in my life. I've never gambled. I know people have. I know that. I can't remember, but I came home right when it happened and I told my wife. I can't remember but the store that I was at. But the guy, the owner of the store, I think that's why we were in Texas, came in. And he said, I just found all these lottery tickets out there. He said, out of all these, it was like a stack like this. He said, three of them, he said, it's $10. $10, that wins, $10, $10. He said, all the rest of these, he said, are you a pastor? And I said, yes. And he goes, I got to have somebody give these to. Can I give this to your church? I got all this wheels turning in my head. You know what I'm saying? It's $30. And I said, okay, I guess if you're going to give it to somebody, our church will take it. I took it. I came home. I told my wife. I said, I didn't play lottery. I said, I promise I didn't. I said, but it looked like to me he was trying to give away $30. So I took it, and then we put it in the church offering plate. But I've never gambled. You say, have you ever won lottery money? No. Once again, that's not me justifying it. I'm just telling you, that's the only thing that's the only lottery card I've ever touched in my life. Mark chapter 7. Look at Mark chapter 7. Ready? Notice this one more warning on covetousness. And he said, I'm looking at verse 20. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, and looky there, covetousness. Now, I told you gambling is not in the Bible, but covetousness is. The equivalent is covetousness. Covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. Notice verse 23. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. You know what the word defile means? It means to make filthy and unusable. Jesus said, you know what comes from your heart? There are certain things you're supposed to suppress because they make your life dirty. And it's not that God doesn't love you. It's not that God can't, praise God. I'm so glad you can't lose your salvation. Amen. But something that Jesus said would make you filthy and unusable doesn't need to be in my life. And I don't want anything to do with it. As a preacher, I'll say it again. There's nothing I can do about the gambling in our county. But I want the people that call me pastor to say, I've seen it in the Bible. Gambling corrupts people in many ways. Did you know a pastor isn't supposed to be? You know one of the requirements of a pastor is that he not be covetous? Go to 2 Peter sometime, 2 Peter chapter 3. Find out one of the traits or several of a false teacher. You know what one of the traits is? They're covetous. That's how come you've got the mega churches and all these phony baloney religions and the millions of dollars and they all got their own private planes and all of this garbage. That's the sign of a false teacher. They're in it for the money. A false teacher is covetous. Gambling, the something for nothing craving that gambling stimulates, always undermines character. The hope of winning a fortune causes some to steal for a gambling stake. Professional gamblers bribe policemen, public officials, athletes, and referees. Irresponsibility, child neglect, divorce, and delinquency all seem to go hand in hand with gambling. Gambling appeals to the weakness of man's character, and it develops the poor traits of recklessness, callousness, covetousness, and stunts spiritual growth. Christian, gambling is not supposed to be a part of our lives as a Christian. I think if somebody saw me gambling, I think I would have a hard time leading them to the Lord. Just like, okay, I heard of somebody was telling somebody about their church, and then they turned right around, this happened just last week, turned right around and sold them some marijuana. Really? Hey, dude, you want to come to my church? I was like, really? What's happening in the name of Christianity is garbage. No, but it's legal. Yeah, smoke that, read your Bible, you'll learn things Jesus didn't even, never, you'll see things God never saw, amen? It's garbage what's going on. I'm going to close with this. If you were filled with the Holy Ghost of God, would the Holy Spirit lead you to go gambling? If you yield yourself to the Lord, God, use me, please, fill me, God, empower me, would the Holy Spirit of God lead you to go gambling? I believe the answer to the question is no. No. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. Christian, gambling is not supposed to have anything to do with our life. It's something I can honestly say, I've never gambled. I'm not going to gamble. I know there's Christians that struggle with it. I've been asked questions as a pastor. And as a pastor, I want you to know I love you. I care about you. But this is a Bible study to say, look, I want to fortify you and help you. Amen? And if you need Bible verses saying, show me in the Bible what's wrong with gambling, I'd like you to be able to say, I've seen it. Amen? He that hasteneth to be rich hath an evil eye. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your truth of your word. Lord, when all society, Lord, 48 states, is now legal.